Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Yes, we are up and rolling on a Thursday morning with Mark Riddings. No Will Schofield, he's just hopping his way from one side of the continent to the other. But of course, tonight we're going to roll into the Shelter Brewery and have a heap of fun with a special live podcast from the Shelter about what's going to be a magnificent 2024 season. Mark Riddings with Hammer Brayshaw joining on this Thursday. Hammer, hello.
Skate, hello. Good to see you. Nice shirt.
Yeah, matching shirts. Mine's extra large, which my wife was very happy, I think, just to have this on me because the last picture that was on the socials, it looked like I'd been rolling in sugar for about 2 months.
Yeah, with the speedos on, enjoying a little bit of Christmas.
Good. Not a lot of good news out of that, Tam. I'm not sure. You look pretty fit and cut.
Thanks,
for
mate. Trying my best, yeah. But I'm still pretty glad to have the shirt on.
Well, the shirt, just explain the shirt because I know it's it's one of our favourites.
It is one of our favourites, the Bison. From the Allan Border, the win, he said, got up there in his speech and said, look, I'm a bit fat at times and I love a beer. And we thought, geez, that sounds pretty good. Put that on a shirt. And it's just gone gangbusters. So the Backchat audience has loved it. I'm sure the Shelter Footycast audience love it as well. So we're, flogging them off.
Absolutely. Great to have Hammer in the house. Also, of course, the Southern River Band for getting us started for this morning's show. Socials at Shelter Footycast, footycast at shelterbrewing.com.au, YouTube Backchat. We've got the Shelter Footycast playlist. It's all happening. And as I say, tonight, live show at Shelter in Busselton. Tickets available at the Shelter website or check the link in our Instagram bio. Apparently, Hammer, at 7 o'clock. Beers are on me. 8 o'clock the show starts. It will be recorded and come up as a bonus episode tomorrow. But you don't want to miss all the fun stuff that happens in between, which is basically Scully and I taking the piss out of each other.
Correct. Getting on the cans and enjoying yourself down there with a few shelters.
Absolutely. Before we talk some footy, we do have a great... how about this giveaway? I'm not sure if you heard about this. Travel and Sport Australia, just up the road.
Yep.
Paul and Terrell Ramsey, they do a super job and they've got a great team there. And basically giving a couple of fans regularly prizes, a chance to go and travel with the West Coast Eagles. In fact, next week's going to be the first one. 2 return airfares on the Eagles charter. I think I got Port Adelaide first up from memory in mid-March, plus tickets to the game. We'll give out a code word on the live show tonight. More details on how to enter will be given at the live show. You've been on, I presume, the Eagles charter flight
back in the day.
Yeah. Fans travel with you on those occasions?
Well, the only time I was in the charter flights was 2020, so there was no one else. So I haven't been on anyone with the fans on there, but I'm sure it'll be an experience. But geez, Paul and Terrell giving away the goods.
Yeah, it's a great trip because in terms of getting up close and personal, it's great when you win, of course, and come back with the boys. It's a bit of a vibe. If not, it can be a bit somber. But get to see how they prepare, which means essentially they sleep or they play cards or they play some game on their iPad. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. I mean, what's the flight to Adelaide? Two and a half, three hours. So you can get away with it pretty quickly. Some guys like to have a little nap. Others just can't sleep on a plane. So you can see the guys that get up and are walking around the aisles and doing all the rest of it. But they buzz around. It's a good spot.
Now, I've had a couple of nice moments in footy this week. You're back in... When I say back, you're on the cusp of playing some footy.
Yeah, we are. We've got an intra-club tonight, so I would have otherwise been down there at the Shelter Brewing and having a couple. But we're back. We've got 3 or 4 weeks until round one. March 30 is our Saturday the 30th is our first game. So it's all coming along pretty quickly. It's exciting. It's good time, and footy's about to get going.
We'll talk some waffle footy a bit later in our Shelter Footy Cast. But I had a really good Tuesday night. Went to Trevor Nisbet's farewell at Subiaco.
Yep.
She was a walk down memory lane for the Eagles Footy Club and also guys from the East Coast. Of course, Andrew Dillon, the CEO of the AFL, came along. Brendan Gale from Richmond, Andrew Ireland, been around footy for a long time, just to name a few. There were a heap of notables. I mean, obviously Justin Langer being a board member, DK Lilly, my all-time idol, was there, and a lot of players from past, a lot of administrators and workers at the Eagles from the past. And yeah, Nizzy, I think he got the farewell that he deserved. He didn't want that type of farewell. He wanted low-key.
Yep.
But to be fair to him, he's been a terrific stalwart for the footy club, and some great things were said about him. A lot made about his short, stumpy legs and his inability to play a lot of league footy, but he played a lot of reserves, played four reserves grand final in the Waffle. So didn't quite make it at league level. I tell you what, he's a giant of the AFL, and Andrew Dillon said as much.
Yeah, he's, I was at the club for, 6 years, and he was there for my time. He was there for 30-odd years before me. So he's been around the park. He's done it all. And old East Perth, he was the footy manager at East Perth before he got his jobs there. So, look, he's been a legend of West Australian football for a very long time, and yes, it was, from all reports, quite a big send-off, which he wouldn't have enjoyed, but absolutely deserve it. He's all the premierships, all the success, all the ups and downs that he's been able to ride that football club through is, it's a testament to him, and he's, certainly going to be missed.
One regret, it was a Tuesday night, not a Friday night or a Thursday night. It would have really pinned the ears back. Yeah. There were a lot of blokes there that would have loved that. But anyway, we heard from Bill Kerr, Dalton Gooding, Chris Allen going back to his East Perth days, Phil Scott, Michael Malthouse was there.
Yep.
Dalton Gooding, I think I've said, there's a great number of people that have been part of Nizzy's life. So kudos to him. Well done, Nizzy. Great career.
Great, Niz.
Don Pike now, the new man in charge. Let's hit it now. Show the footy cast our big moment of the week. Happened yesterday, and it was Sam Powell Pepper with the AFL Tribunal. 3.5 hours was the tribunal hearing. The bump on Mark Keane, which left him concussed.
Yep.
And the AFL, now, I don't know if the rules have changed, but the interpretation and the penalties certainly have gone up a degree. 4 weeks. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. It was... I get that it's a... You know, you're trying to get yourself going for the season. He plays on the edge and he's an aggressive player, but to just drop the shoulder and just go bang the way he did was just stupid. He didn't need to do it. And with all the world focus on concussion for the AFL at the moment, to do that and knock a bloke out is not what you want. And 4 weeks, I think, is just. It's you know, I think we've got Tassa Crew sending the boys over to play Port Adelaide. There'll be one down. So, look, it's disappointing to see it happen, but the 4 weeks is a just penalty.
Yeah, so you say, and you've been out there, so I'm just talking as a punter who looks at it and saw the incident, albeit in slow motion, and the way the tackle evolved and the way the incident happened. Port Adelaide didn't appeal, but they thought it was very much excessive, the penalty. I suspect the AFL will have that as the benchmark now, because if you compare that to others last year, he's getting some extra mayonnaise on the top of the penalty. So is it because of simply, we'll talk about your brother shortly, but is it the even a stronger focus on protecting the head in 2024 moving forwards?
It's got to be. I think it's, I think it has to be. The way that I mean, he obviously had the intent to just smack him, so it's you're coming through with force, and I think they've now steering to the point where any contact with the head is going to be met with some serious penalties, any intentional contact with the head even more so, and then with the high force. They've got, I mean, we had our Waffle sit down the other week, and it was, okay, here's the concussion protocols, and it's pretty strict. It's just a grid. It's like, okay, there's high impact, there's intentional, bang, that's what you're getting. And so I think in the past, that sort of stuff has been, oh, there it is, but maybe we're going to drop him a week or two. I think they're going to be uphold to the letter of the law now, and there's just so much heat on the game for concussion and protection of the head that anything that results in concussion has to be looked at pretty harshly. They're just trying to phase that stuff out of the game. There are things that just happen in football, head knocks, accidental clashes. Like, there's things that happen where the head is in trouble, but where it's an intentional contact with the head, they are, I'd imagine, especially early on in the year, they're going to try and put a huge stamp out on it.
So off the back of that, and we'll speak again about your brother shortly, the WAFL at community level and junior sport level are looking at a 21-day after concussion, 21 days on the sidelines. Now, it seems inevitable at some stage in the near future that AFL players, NRL players, which is I think around the 11, 12 days for each code, that is going to go up. Is that something you feel is more likely than not?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think the Waffle's been a step ahead of the AFL in terms of their sort of precaution for concussion. We've had the blue card rule introduced. There's been certain steps that the Waffle have taken that are probably a step ahead. And I think this is another one of them. The jury is out on the time frame for concussions to sort of settle down. Obviously, the severity of them will impact that, but a mandatory 12 days, I think that's a number that's just been, it's one of those things that's just been plucked out. You know, it's okay, well, sweet, 12 days, we'll throw that in there. And some scientist has seen a study and it's there. So there's lots of inconclusive evidence. So I think the more time you can give it, the better. Obviously, understanding that guys want to get back, and concussion's a weird one because you can feel fine after 2 or 3 days and you're like, well, I'm ready to go. But the long-term ramifications of that, if you do go out and get hit again, are severe. So I think they're just trying to give as much risk mitigation as they can for the players. And I think that 21-day protocol will probably roll out, if not this year, at some point, then the next year or the year after in the AFL. And I don't think players are going to bat too much of an eyelid at it, considering all the talk and the hype around it at the moment.
And that being said, it's at the other end of the year, but looking at grand final week, more and more I feel, and if the 21 days comes in, it doesn't matter, but to have a week's break between the prelim and the grand final, a la the Super Bowl, it means that possibly players that are under some question mark or the concussion issue comes into play, that to me is an obvious one, and obviously you get injuries right, but yeah, it's an issue that's not going away. And I think in many ways it was the catalyst for what we saw at the tribunal yesterday. I might be wrong, but it was with Angus's decision to retire after medical advice. We know the background to it, and we know that you're very close to it. More importantly, a week or so down the track, it's a bit like being made redundant in your job or losing something in your life, whether it's a grieving process. How's he handling it?
Oh, he's still in a bit of shock. I spoke to him the other day, and it's the boys are back training now. They played a game, and it's, you know, the world, it took a brief pause and, you know, paid its respects to him. And lots, the media team at Melbourne did a fantastic job of all the highlights and all the, you know, memories about him. And it was awesome. But at the end of the day, the season's coming. So it's, you know, yep, sweet, there's the blip and you've got to move on. So he's taken a step back and taken a bit of time off from the footy club, which is understandable. He'll try and, I think, get back in at some point and be around the boys. But for now, it's a bit too close to home. So he's taking a step back. I think he's just going to be a gypsy for the next little bit and float around and travel. He might get out of the country. I just don't think he's in a position where he wants to watch or be around any football right now. So he's still sort of coming to terms with what's going to happen. He's 28. He's had a great career, but, you know, he ideally would have liked to have played for another 5 to 10. So he's got some things to think about what he wants to do, but he's come to terms with what's happened. He's reflected with pride on his career and he's very grateful for what's occurred. Obviously, he would still like to be there, but I think he's content with what he's done, and now it's just a bit of, well, give myself a bit of a break. He hasn't had a break since school. A lot of these guys that get drafted straight in from school, straight into football, so he'll take a bit of time. He's got the luxury now of, you know, having this ability to do, you know, pretty much whatever he wants with, you know, while his head's still going to be okay, so he can, you know, travel the world and see what's going on and, you know, just enjoy himself. But I think it'll be away from football for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Angus, but anyone you listen to about him at the footy club, give him the highest of praise. So that's a bonus. Also, I suppose the other element, and I'll ask you, there wasn't a moment in pre-season that he felt poor. It was more just the updated medical advice, I'm guessing. And the other fact that I think long-term plays into it is that his partner is the daughter of Danny Frawley.
Yes.
So that, of course, we know the background there. So this is a very sensitive issue for both sides of the family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even without the medical advice, the question was still looming over his head as to whether or not he was going to keep going. And that was always going to be a question, you know, to be made before round one. And I think with the updated medical advice, he wanted to be 100% sure going into the Richmond scratchy, the practice game, and he didn't get the tick, and it was in fact the opposite. So it was, you know, happy that he got that advice and sought the medical help. But I think from my point of view, from Danielle's point of view, there's a bit of relief there that it's finally the decision's been made. I think for him personally, in a couple of weeks or months or however long it'll take, there might be a bit of relief for him as well, because it was a struggle for him because he obviously wanted to play. He's got this family, you know, history. And so, yeah, the fact that the decision was made for him might take a little bit of solace in that. But at the moment, he's just taking a bit of time.
He had a cigar after the GF over here.
Yep.
Did he like the cigars, did he?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he saw the photo of Michael Jordan after his couple of championships and thought this looked pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a couple of boys on the cigars. Yeah. Gee, that's interesting. He didn't look like a cigar smoker, mate. No. Anyway, before we talk about the WA teams and what's coming up this weekend and a bit of a look at the year ahead, Today, news breaking about Harry Sheasel, AFL rising star, winning the Sid Barker medal, the youngest ever at North, yep. I believe, 19 years of age. He was contracted until, I think, 2026 or thereabouts. Now it's out to 2030. His life is essentially now locked away at North.
Yep, he's a star, this kid. I think he's, from what do you have, 30 on debut at, against West Coast, and he dropped the first, he dropped his first mark, missed his first kick, and he's a young kid, he'll get used to it, and then just dominated the rest of the game. I don't know where this one sits. So the rule changed, I think, back end of last year to have, now that it's anything over a six-year contract, has to be scrutinised by the AFL a bit harder. The president and the CEO of the club have to tick it off. Came off the back of Brodie Grundy going from Collingwood to Melbourne to Sydney in a year, all still while under contract Collingwood. So these big contracts have to be ratified a bit harder. And I think, I'm not sure how this one sits, because it is a six-year deal now, but it is coming off the back of an already existing contract. Not sure where it sits, but this would be the first big one since that rule's been put in. And to sign that big of a deal at that young of an age, it shows the faith that they've got in him. But I've got nothing but hopes for North Melbourne Footy Club over the next few years, because guys like him, like George Wardlaw and Nick Larkey and even Jai Simkin, these young, talented players that are going to be, obviously they've had some compensation from the AFL and no one sort of shies away from that, but make hay while the sun shines, and he's the sort of kid you want to keep around, definitely.
Absolutely. Big dollars you expect, maybe back-ended, yep. But either way, he's got some huge upside. So Sam Pepper, Harry Sheasel. This is the Shelter Footycast. We're going to talk about the Eagles and the Dockers. A couple of points to note. Matt Clark comes across from Richmond as the list rebuilder after what's been a tumultuous time and a lot of criticism. Now, to be fair, it can't be just the list manager's fault that these things happen.
The
club's in this position. But Matt Clark comes on pretty good credentials.
Yeah, he does. He's been able to do some pretty good things at Richmond. And I think the good thing about this position is it's pretty difficult to go any worse. not having a go at the Eagles, but they've been ravaged by injury. It's been a tough last few years. And building this list is essentially, you get a free hit. It's, you come in, you've got an open slather to do whatever you want with your list, and you can sort of guide the club into a direction where it's, it's tough to finish any worse than 18th. So I think they'll be better off for the appointment and just having some sort of clarity around what that looks like. I'm sure he's got a vision about where he wants the club's list to go and list profile. It's just about getting them on the park. You can have the best list in the world, but if none of the boys are playing, then it makes it certainly difficult.
Oh, which the going through at the moment, we'll touch on that. Just for those that don't know much about Matt Clark, this was Matty Clark who played ruck for Adelaide back in the day, wasn't it? Not him. It's a guy that helped engineer, well, certainly part of the yep. team that helped engineer a hat-trick of premierships at Richmond. So that's where the credentials come from. And as you say, he gets a bit of a clean slate to draw upon, and hopefully not that Rohan O'Brien did a bad job, but he just the bodies just weren't out on the park regularly enough. So good luck to him in his new job. Speaking of players out in the park, of course, the Eagles take on Adelaide on Saturday, about lunchtime our time. Oscar Allen's getting some sort of head scans on his knee.
Yep.
Off the back of Matt Flynn, off the back of the other injuries, what is this? This theme isn't going away, Hammer.
No, it's not. I think for Oscar's a different case. He's been at the club now for 6 years, and he would have had surgery 15 times. He's breaking records for the most scans ever. He's a fragile yet plays. It's weird. He's got, I don't know, he's got glass bones, he's got glass everything, but still somehow manages to get out and dominate. So I don't think the results of this scan will put him off the park for too long, regardless of what it is. So he'll be okay. But the injuries that they've got and have continuously had for the last 3 years, it's quite remarkable. And the way that these things are happening, Matt Flynn's hamstring that pulled from the top of his calf, and it's just all this weird stuff. It's, you have to scratch your head, and I can't imagine how frustrating it is being in that position as a player, as a coach, as a list manager, as a physio, as a head of high performance. You just must be scratching your head at what's going on and pulling your hair out. But it's another one that, Oscar needs to get fit and needs to get back out there. They've got McGovern, who didn't play last week. They've got Sheed that didn't play last week. Obviously Matt Flynn, Liam Ryan, Tyler Brockman. There's lots of guys like that. That's six or seven of your best 22 players that aren't playing. So it makes things tough. Obviously Jimby got knocked out, the best player ever. So they're just getting hammered at the moment.
Oh, good morning to Peter Sumich, by the way, who's just left the West. I know you do a bit of work for Seven West.
Has.
Yeah, after a dispute or a debate about Harley Reid. Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about the number one draft pick today, apart from the fact he had a little bit of a scare at training yesterday. And in brief, what you saw last Saturday from him, being used inside the centre square, down back, are you expecting that to continue against Adelaide on Saturday, or are you expecting a more permanent role for him somewhere else?
No, I'd expect him to play the same role that he did against Freo. He looked like an 18-year-old kid who was, you know, a bit, not starstruck, but a bit, you know, it was his first game of footy. The thing that I loved about it was he got caught holding the ball a couple of times, trying to stiff arm, and it's like, if you've got the confidence to do that as an 18-year-old kid, like, you are going to, and he's a star. So he will take that, he'll adjust quickly. It's not like it's going to take him 2-3 years to make that jump. He'll make it in a couple of weeks, but he, you know, it was his first game. So to have the confidence to do what he did despite not playing his best game, it's, you can see that he's got that talent there. And they won't throw the baby out with the bathwater there. He has one blip, but it's, you know, that's the role he's been trained in all preseason. He's ready to go, and he is just going, yeah, he's going to be a talent.
And they'll try and protect him in many ways. Of course. I mean, you can't expect this kid to come in and, I mean, everyone talks about Chris Judd and what he did after one game at East Perth, but, you know, this guy's a different person, different character, and he'll clearly be a different player, we think.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it is so... It's unfair to talk about him in the likes of Chris Judd, because he might end up being a Brownlow medalist and a 300-game player and a star. He might do. But to put those comparisons on him early, Chris Judd was one of the best players I've ever seen play football. And we watched highlights of him on Backchat last week, and I'm like, is he just the best player of all time? Bouncing out of stoppages, picking the ball up, breaking tackle. It's like... This kid might have that potential, might be there, but to put that on him early is tough, and he's 18. But yeah, he seems to thrive on the under the pressure. He seems to really enjoy the mantle of being the number one pick and the best young kid, and you can see the confidence that he plays with. And from all reports, he's actually he enjoys it, but he's quite humble and sort of larrikin in his ability, and I think that'll hold him in really good stead going forward. And yeah, the confidence that he plays with, regardless of how it's going to go, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and country kid, look, he's handling Perth pretty well, I think. And if he keeps an eye on the paper, he'll get his head on there probably every second day. But bottom line is, as you say, Chris Judd. The other thing Judd didn't have to deal with so much was the social media just exploded in the last 5-10 years. So we hope Harley Reid goes okay. Before we talk a waffle preview, the Fremantle Dockers, they've got Port Adelaide tomorrow night. As much as we thought the Eagles were poor, the Dockers, there's some nice things happening there with their forward line, their mids. Are you as bullish as you would be having seen them now on Saturday heading into round one?
I am. I think their ball movement, they played a pretty stunted West Coast, and I think that you can sort of take a few things out of it. Their ball use and the style of play, I think at times was exciting, at times was a little bit like last year, so there's hopefully they can be a bit more exciting going forward. But the best thing, I think, for the Freo Footy Club looking at it was Nat Fyfe playing full-time in the midfield. He's massive, he's huge. And speaking to Andrew the other day, he has moved past the point of individual sort of recognition. He's won Brownlows, he's won Best and Fairest. He doesn't care anymore about any of that. He just wants to win. And the only thing, he wins a premiership, he goes down as one of the greatest players ever, I think. And I think that he knows that as well, and that's his goal. So at a stoppage, just rolled into Andrew and said, hey, mate, I'll just come and block for you. You just run off. Does the same thing to Caleb. And no one can tackle him. No one can get him. He just holds his hands up, gets the ball hit to him, and then two draws, and then he just goes bang. So the fact that he is out there fit and firing, he's going to put them right in contention, I think, to play really good footy this year. And he's still one of the best players in the comp. And from all reports, he's back.
Yep, absolutely. And we know that their midfield, probably, I think, a little bit skinny. If they could have two or three more quality players, it doesn't hurt. We see Collingwood and the best teams do that. But the other kid that's coming through, and I've mentioned this, I've already banged on about Cooper Simpson, but I've seen a couple of things already that he might be, if not round one, certainly early doors. But Dockers, they've got no Luke Jackson tomorrow night with delayed concussion.
Yep.
And off the back of that, Heath Chapman's gone overseas to Qatar. Must be good. Have you been to Qatar?
Never have.
But the injury, it must be like a rehab centre for excellence, where you just all the crocs go over there to get fixed up.
Well, I mean, all the I played golf with the guy the other day that was who worked with a doctor out of Qatar, and all the major soccer leagues across the world fly guys in there, and Neymar's there, and Messi's there, and Ronaldo goes there. All the stars go there, so they must be doing something right.
Absolutely. The other one, other player missing, just a slight hamstring injury is Michael Frederick, who I think just precautionary, make sure he's right for round one.
Yep.
My colleague at 6PR, Steve Mills, has he likes having a bet, has backed him and tipping him to win the Brownlow medal. He is...
Michael Frederick.
Yeah, he needs to be...
At that's, what?
Millsy needs to be tested for something that's...
So Millsy's got him at 4,000 to 1, does he?
Exactly. But Freddie, if you can do it, brother, I'll tell you
what,
you'll make Stephen Mills
Millsy a
very happy man. This is the Shelter Footycast. As we know, there's a live show coming to you from Busselton tonight, the Shelter live edition. Hammer's going to be playing a game of footy. That's tomorrow night, isn't it?
No, it's tonight.
Oh, tonight. What's tonight? Thursday?
Tonight's Thursday.
So we're intra-club away. Tonight.
Intra-club tonight, yep. Weekend off. Oh,
giddy up. Here
end of
go.
A long weekend. Wow.
Weekend. But let's talk waffle. As I say, tonight, join Scully and myself. If you get the chance, if you're heading out of Busselton, come and see us. I'm putting on the drinks apparently from 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Thanks to our friends at Shelter. We'll go through it sort of numerically, or certainly from what we saw at the top of the table last year. East Fremantle as premiers, Peel Thunder, they played in the grand final. Let's start with the running premiers in brief. Again, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know Bryn Teagle's coming back into the mix, which is huge. Breaking a 25-year drought last year. So East Fremantle...
25-year drought with an asterisk on top, please, because they obviously cheated.
That'll get back to
There'll be an asterisk on that one, but they'll start
what
two back.
Asterisks? The premiership points you're talking about, the salary cap.
Yeah, the premiership points, they'll start two back. So they were clearly the best team last year without question. They had the most durability with their players. They dominated. They made the Wacker their home, and they really got that going. But, that's going to pay them back this year because I think they start two.
Is it? I thought it was one, but I might be wrong.
One or two
I
games
I thought it was
back.
One games back. We'll get that checked.
Anyway, regardless, they start behind the eight ball, which is huge for the competition.
It is, and you've just... I'm looking forward to East Perth and East Fremantle. I'm not sure when you play each other, but that's going to have a bit of spice to it.
Oh, well, we always do.
They're a good side, though, and
Bryn
Teagle comes back, so that gives them something
makes them
to look
better,
forward to.
Yep.
We'll go through some of these sides. I mentioned we'll start with the Premiers. Let's go through sort of alphabetically. By the way, Claremont finished fifth. They won an elimination final against your mob. And it was a real learning experience, I thought, for some of your players about finals footy. They were beaten eventually by Subiaco. You almost feel that they're going to be in the top half of top five every season just by pure virtue of what comes through their zone.
They get really good talent through their young kids. They've got some star players. We talk about Freddie. His brother's come over from the Sample, so he's going to add some speed and pace in that side. They're always good. They will be. Alec Waterman goes back, so there's another bit of depth. They'll be pretty good. So I think it's they knocked us out in the final. Again, a learning curve for us. We had a lot of young kids playing their first game of finals footy. We sort of still getting to know each other as a team, and then under the pressure of finals, things sort of start to happen. And they were very good that day, so all credit to them. But they'll be good again. They always are.
Absolutely. We mentioned Bolton and Bailey Rogers, the two guys that are thereabouts. Bolton playing a different role, but right. They've got too much talent available at their Colts level, and I've gotten in trouble mentioning the fact they've got Albany, they've got Broome, and they've got the pick of the crop when it comes to the country. So
they certainly do.
Hence they have a very strong record in Colts footy. They work the zone well, as I'm told all the time. But yes,
they do. And I think the good thing about that club is that, and successful clubs, you always see all three grades doing well, Colts, Resies and League, and that's they're a really good example. That's been our issue a little bit in the past, East Perth, is we might have had success, or we might have been playing well in league footy, but our Resies aren't playing very well and our Colts are sort of struggling. And so you find with the good teams that depth everywhere across all three grades has a real impact on how your league team's going. So it's important, and they do a really good job of that.
Okay, that's the tie. It's just going back to East Fremantle. I had clarification that they've been stripped 4 premiership points and 5 player points for next season, while also copying a $10,000 fine for breaching total player payments. That was in 2022, so not their premiership year, just to clarify that. So, but there's still, obviously, as you say, in your words, an asterisk. Oh, that's going to go.
Just pumping up the rivalry. So only 4 premiership points. I mean, they still would have finished
top. Two games last year.
So they still would have finished number one. They still would have finished top. They finished 2 games clear on top. So they'll only be one spot behind the eight ball. But it's good to see them starting one behind.
Yeah, and an asterisk according to Ham.
Asterisk on nice. Premiership asterisk.
Premiership asterisk. Okay, so we've talked about East Fremantle, Bryn Teagle, good, and we know that they've got some quality there with Jono Marsh, who didn't play in the GF, by the way.
No.
So Milan Murdoch, they've got it all happening for them. Let's roll down and see who else we can touch on in this waffle season coming up. Of course, starts on Easter Thursday with West Perth and at Claremont. Let's go to the next team on the list. Let's throw Subiaco into the melting pot. Again, a team that's always thereabouts, and they've got a little bit of a blip the last couple of years because they haven't won a flag.
Yeah, that's been the blip. They've been the dominant team ever since I've been over here. They just always seem to be good. I think they're very well led. Lee Kitchen is a fantastic player, and he's been able to lead that team. And after Horse dropped out, Kitch took the mantle up, and they've just been a dominant team ever since. But I think the good thing about them is they've got now a young crop of talent that, while they have blipped on premierships, they've been able to bridge the gap now, and they've got guys like Schofield who have come through and playing really good footy, and they're just dangerous across the park again. So they're going to be hard to beat. They always are. It's I'm not sure what Zach Clark's doing. Is he playing? Is he not?
I've heard he's retiring.
I've heard he's retiring, but there's been nothing official made yet.
No, I've heard that 2 months ago. There's still a tiny question mark, I reckon, on Lee Kitchen because of his... I mean, just getting through the preseason. If he gets to round one, I think...
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine, but yep. he's a ripper and...
great fella.
A bit of verbal between... Is there any, no, I'm not saying there is, but any time you two have a... There's a bit of yap when he's out there?
Yeah, we chat a little bit. When was it? It was 2 years ago. We it was like 72-15 or something at halftime. We smashed them, and they kicked two goals in the opening the third quarter. And I was like, "Mate, Kitch, where's this been for the first half?" Anyway, they kicked about the next six, and it got real tight. We still ended up winning the game. But I said to him afterwards, "Geez, that'll be the last time that I ever chat with you." But no, he's a great fella. He's just led a very successful football club.
There it is, Subiaco. We expect them to play finals in 2024. Let's see if we can get a couple more teams rolling through up the list. Peel Thunder.
Yep.
Where are they in the mix? Obviously, it's all reliant on what they have with their AFL listed players.
Yeah, it is. I think that's the key with Peel and with West Coast. It's a matter of their listed players from their team coming back. I think you saw it with Peel this year. They've gone on to made the grand final last year and were able to be a successful team. They had guys like Will Brody playing in that game, and you have that depth, so that really helps. But they've also got the benefit of having a catchment zone, so they've got some pretty handy waffle players on their own. Blair Bell's played 100 games. So they've got guys that have played a lot of football for the Peel region. So again, they'll be good. They'll be better if their AFL list is healthy. So they'll be interesting. They'll be tough to play against. They always are, especially driving down to Mandurah and playing them in their home ground. So yeah, it's you hope to get them on a good week with injuries at Freo. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. And one guy I think might make an impact, because I don't think he'll play early doors for Freo, is Pat Voss, who was in the practice match last weekend. He came out on primarily in the second match, which was 2 20-minute simulations. I thought he showed a bit. So again, they get if Tracy and me team up in attack, it all depends on what availability he's going to be. I think most of the year, unless there's injuries, a pickup for Peel Thunder.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it is the way all the time. But if you've got a fully fit AFL list, you get guys that have played 30, 40, 50 AFL games playing waffle, and it's they're too good for that level, but they come back and they have to play. So it's and especially if Fremantle, when Freo are successful and they're playing well, the guys who come back and play for Peel, they're playing for sheep stations. They're going for it. So it's not like you're coming back and, turn the toes up and playing waffle. It's I'm trying my best to get back into a winning team. So if Freo are successful, Peel are successful, it's always they sort of go hand in hand.
What about the Royals? Your team finished fourth last year. You won the Sandover. Angus Shoemaker came third. It was a pretty good season. Bear in mind, you're climbing up the ladder, but the next progression is to win a final and hopefully go deeper. Scott Jones was a big absence late in the season. He had a couple of injuries, but I'm sure you're going to talk up the fact that there's more growth.
Yeah, there certainly is. I think for us last year, we probably exceeded expectations of where everyone thought. We jumped the gun on being a contender, I think is the way that we'll probably put it. We had guys like Mitch Croden and Mick Randall and Tom North come to the footy club, and they've obviously been great for what we've been able to do. But we haven't necessarily recruited heavily this offseason. Zach Hill used to be at Perth, went and played country footy. Now he's come back, so he'll be an inclusion who's played some waffle league footy. But apart from that, James Starrick's come from Peel, so he's played 50 games. They're probably the only two that we've really recruited heavily on. We've just sort of built that stability in our list. Obviously, Scott Jones is a massive inclusion. He helps us being back and gives us first look in the ruck. But then just being able to have Liam Tedesco play with us for another year and Mitch Croden be there for another year and Tom North, it just gives us a look of continuity, and I think that's going to be the big thing for us. So we'll have another year of playing together. It'll be much the same team. Cade Dittmar's the only guy who's gone. He's gone over to the sample. Apart from that, we've retained everyone, so it's been a that doesn't happen a whole lot in Waffle footy, so it's going to be an exciting year, definitely.
Yeah, the Waffle's all the better when the Royals are up and running. Perth, if they were up and running, that would be a good thing for the comp as well, because they've had very few fine times in the last 40 years, trust me, as a Perth supporter. Ninth last year, two wins, no player got more than 12 votes in the Sandover Hammer, but they have done a bit of strong recruiting.
Oh, yeah, they have.
Schlenchog comes back into the mix, ex-South Fremantle, played some state footy, and they went to Geelong to cherry-pick a couple of players.
Yeah, they did. One of my very good friends, Charlie Constable's come over. Sam Simpson's come over with him. They'll certainly be better this year. You can't have talented players like that come in and not be better. It not only makes you a better playing team, but it raises the standards at training. It gives a lot of these young guys something to strive for. They had a pretty good Colts team last year, so they're going to have some Colts come through, which is always important. And in the past, Perth have been robbed by the fact that they're best Colts players, or you know, they have someone pop up and they'll get drafted. So their only good Colts players will get taken. They had some guys go in the mid-season, so it is always tough. But they've got these guys now that have come in and will make that team more stable. No players had more than 12 Sandover votes last year for them. I think Charlie Constable averaged 35 and maybe a goal in the VFL last year. So I'd imagine he'd probably be pulling a few more than that. But there'll be guys like that that step up for Perth and make them more stable throughout. But it'll also raise the level of the other players. It'll give them something to look at training, and it will bring them along for games. So they'll be a lot more competitive. I wouldn't be surprised if they win, you know, quite a few more games than two this year, obviously. But they'll be, they'll be a much, much improved side from last year.
Hammer, don't say that, because you know what kills football supporters is hope.
Hope.
It's hope. When you don't have hope, like I haven't had for so long. Yeah. You know, that's fine. Just roll on, forget about it. If there's hope, there's disappointment that comes with hope. So I hope you're right, but I'm not so sure. South Fremantle, disappointing by their own lofty standards, finished eighth last year, 6-12 record, but you get the feeling there's going to be a bounce back with them.
Yeah, finished eighth, had the two game back start, so that was difficult. They probably still wouldn't have made finals anyway. But I think they're going to be another team that bounces back. So I'm not sure what Hayden Schloss doing. He's retired. He's come back. He's gone to Darwin. He's come back. He's played country footy. He's come back, and now I think he's playing again. So he's a star. He's a Sandover medalist. He's played 200 plus games. So he'll be good. Tom Bletchenden's obviously a star for them. Izzy Winder's come over. So he obviously dropped off the Eagles list, and now he's playing there. So and then they've got guys like Jordan Gallucci, who was at Adelaide's list, who's still there and playing footy, and that's another year on their list. So they'll be good again. They're always a bit like Subiaco. They've been there or thereabouts for quite a long time. They've been successful. They've won premiership. So it's that's a team I think that's going to bounce back. Obviously got hindered by the two-game head start, and I think at some points throughout the year, probably when finals was lost for them, it was just, well, what are we going to do next year? So I don't think that record necessarily reflects how good they were and how dangerous they were last year. And starting from level pegging will certainly be interesting.
Let's roll through our final three teams. Swan Districts finished seventh last year. Recruitment-wise, not sure where they're at with that, but they're a young team. And I think Andrew Pruin's got a big job in the fact that, trying to get them up to that next level. That being said, Tony Knott's on track, I think, to play his 300th game.
Yeah,
relatively early in the season.
Yep, I've been keeping an eye on that. I'm pretty sure he should do it by round,
early rounds.
Early round four or five, I think, is something like that. So he'll be close. From reports from them last year, they were hiking Bluff Knoll at 1 a.m. and doing all this sort of stuff to get them fit and ready to go. And you could see that they were a much fitter team than they were the year before. I think they probably burnt out a little bit last year, so it'll be interesting to see the difference in their preseason and how they go about it. But they've got some dangerous players. I mean, Jesse Turner he gets the footy, and no one can run with him. So they've got weapons up forward. Tony Knott obviously has been down back for a long time and makes that back line work and makes them sort of in sync. So they'll be a good team. They're always dangerous, especially going to play out there. No one likes going to Bassendean to play
the
football.
The abuse from the McDonald's stand, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great spectating venue. It'd be awesome to sit in the Canberra and watch. But, they'll be there or thereabouts again. They finished seventh last year. I think they're a better team than that. It's about their fitness and how much they can keep guys on the park. And, I certainly don't. I'd not want to play them in Knott's 300th, because I think they'll be throwing everything at it.
Absolutely. I think Sydney Stack, from memory, I'm not sure. I think he might have gone to Swans.
Potentially.
Potentially. We'll wait and see what happens on that front. West Perth finished sixth, missed the finals by the game. I think they won the flag the previous year, so they fell off the cliff. But, I've got a mate, Muppet, who works at Seven, and he's a mad West Perth fan. He reckons they will just lift. So every team, as we've just described, are going to be improving, lifting, and winning more games.
That's a good. I mean, looking at the Waffle last year, and I think the thing that I'm excited about is the competition was so close. I mean, second to fifth finished on the same points. West Perth just missed out. There were teams, I think, with the exception of Perth and West Coast last year, everyone was competitive no matter what game you played in, and hopefully that's a little bit different this year. But yeah, I remember Muppet coming up to me after winning the Sandover, and he said, "Mate, Luke Meadows had 32 that last game and you got the 3 votes." And I said, "Muppet, I've had 37 and kicked a goal, mate. What do you want from me?"
He's had 37 beers just the night. Alone.
No, he's a massive West Perth man. But look, I mean, again, they probably fell off a cliff that wasn't expected last year. Whether it's a premiership hangover or not, I'm not sure. But we played them in the last round of the year, and they were 50 points up on us halfway through the third quarter. So they're a quality side. They've got guys like Luke Meadows, who's a star, and Keitel, who's been a genius of the game for a long time and been able to dominate that forward. He's, I don't know how many Burnies he's won, but and then their back line, they've got some solid players down there as well who have played a lot of state footy, and look, they've got stars all over the park. So sixth probably isn't a representation of them, but at the end of the day, you can only have five teams finishing in the finals. I think I've said everyone will be there or thereabouts. So it's they'll be good.
Speaking of improving, from West Perth Falcons, and we know that Aaron Black's relinquished the co-captaincy. Dean Munns, I think, is doing it solo this year. West Coast Eagles, you know a lot about them.
Yep.
Won the Wooden Spoon, winless season. We know they're getting a few more advantages or some opportunities to build their list. Will it be enough to make them competitive?
I'm not sure. Look, they've got guys. So Jackson Nelson's obviously there. They've got Jason Gilbey and... who else have they got? They've got a couple of guys that have come in and they're now playing for them. Was on Collingwood's list. The name's escaping me. Can't remember his name at the moment. That's disappointing because I've met him a few
times. Don't look at me.
He's a nice guy. But they've got a couple of guys that have been there or thereabouts and are now playing. So that will give them stability whether they're in or out of the... regardless of what their AFL team's doing. But again, it's like you can't expect the Waffle team to be competitive if the AFL team has just been ravaged by injuries, because the competitive Waffle players then have to go and play AFL and you get left with pretty much nothing. There were games last year where they were having sort of one to two players and one player had to move, had to play a half because he would get taken off and he'd be having to be an emergency for the AFL. So, Trey Rusko, there it is. Thank you very much, yes. Nick. Look, they've got a couple of guys who will be there every week. But again, you just can't expect a team to be competitive when all their players are being taken to play AFL footy.
Absolutely. It all starts on the Easter Thursday, West Perth, Claremont. Huge weekend of footy coming your way over Easter. But of course, we've got Waffle W starting this weekend. The AFL practice match is continuing. But most importantly, get down to the Shelter Brewery tonight, because from 8 o'clock, a live show. It's going to be Scully and myself. Hammer, brilliant work. Love the Bison. Yep. Love you.
Have a couple of beers tonight, Skeet, for
the
Bison.
You're a Sandover medalist. That will never change. Of course, socials at Shelter Footycast, footycast at shelterbrewing.com.au, YouTube, Backchat, Shelter Footycast playlist. Beers on me from 7 tonight at Shelter. See you there.
7 till 8.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.